Welcome into the Draftster with your hosts, Zach Blackerby and Christian Page.
Welcome into the Draftster. The draft is so close, we can hardly stand it, so we're going to throw together one last mock draft episode just days before the draft. Zach Blackerby here, your host, joined by my good friend and co-host, Christian Page. Christian, how you doing?
We are roughly 48 hours out.
Oh my gosh. I think it's less, right?
What time is it, 6 or 7?
I think it starts...
I should definitely know this.
But yeah, full house today, even though they're not physically here. But we've got Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing well.
Glad to have you back. Yes. TJ, how you doing, bud?
Hey, in there. How are you guys?
Doing well. And we have Stefan. How you doing, bud?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. So let's get right into it. We are... Yeah, like we said, this is a mock draft episode, and we'll if you listen to our previous one, we're going to do the same kind of format with that. And so, Christian, you start us off. The first pick is the Rams. The Rams are now on the clock.
And the Rams are going to select Jared Goff, quarterback out of California. Obviously, they made the move with the Titans to probably trade up to number one to probably select a quarterback. Being with Goff being pretty much in their backyard, this makes a lot of sense here. I think pretty much set in stone that Goff's the guy. Wouldn't surprise me to see Wentz here, but I have a pretty good feeling Goff is selected first overall.
I mean, guys, what do you think the odds are that it's not Goff? Does anybody think there's a chance that it's Wentz?
No. I actually do.
No.
All right, who thinks it is?
It was me, Brandon.
Right.
I think... The only real connection for Los Angeles and Goff is the California thing. I think from a scheme fit, Goff fits much better with like a West Coast, what Doug Peterson's going to run in Philadelphia. And I think Wentz fits a lot better into that pro style, play action, deep ball stuff. And he's got the more prototypical size that Jeff Fisher kind of likes. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason that I feel that way. So I'm still holding out hope that there's going to be a North Dakota State player, the first overall pick.
That would be something.
That'd be great. All right, but yeah, the league, pretty much all the teams are expecting it to be Goff. So let's send it to up in Philly with Stefan. The Eagles are now on the clock.
Yeah, so up to number two, crazy. Obviously, with Goff being off the board, the decisions being made, obviously, at that point, then the Carson Wentz would be the pick at number two. So as anticipated, the Eagles will select Carson Wentz with the second pick in the draft.
All right, as you're selecting for the Eagles, but you're also an Eagles fan, you have the opportunity, Goff, Carson Wentz, say the Eagles are picking one, who's your guy?
I'm higher on Goff than I know Zach particularly is and some other people, but I still think Wentz has a much higher ceiling than Goff does. And I think for the type of offense that may be getting run here in Philly, Wentz is a little bit more of an active runner. I think he might be a little bit better of a schematic fit than a Goff. Not to say that I don't think Goff could be a good quarterback in the league or the system, but I like Wentz, and I'd prefer him over Goff personally. So that's just me.
All right. I mean, that makes sense. That's those are valid points. Let's go to the Chargers. San Diego is now on the clock, and TJ, you've got them.
Yeah, you know, this is definitely a tough pick. I could go a number of different ways, but, you know, I'm going to go with Jalen Ramsey from Florida State. If you look at the way their roster is built, the Chargers they're in win-now mode. You know, they brought back Antonio Gates. Phillip Rivers is still there, and, you know, he's not getting any younger. And I think King Dunlap, you know, they gave him that four-year deal. His play hasn't warranted them bringing in a new tackle to replace him. You know, he's been a solid left tackle for them, hence, you know, their contract extension. And Eric Weddle was a huge leader on the defensive side of the ball. And I think, you know, they brought in Melvin Gordon last year because running back was a major need for them. So they're trying to get the pieces in place to win as soon as possible. And I think Jalen Ramsey gives them that opportunity because I truly believe he will see the field sooner than Laremy Tunsil will.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that makes sense as far as positional need goes. All right, number four, Dallas is on the clock. I'm with them. So I think they're also in win-now mode, and I think they go to the guy with the biggest firepower in this draft.
and that's Ezekiel Elliott. Now, this isn't something that I think should happen, but I think it's what will happen. You know, that's what a mock draft is. And I think the Dallas Cowboys are expecting Dez Bryant and Tony Romo to stay healthy this year. And with that triplet, I mean, Dallas Cowboy fans might have similar flashbacks, you know, to the 90s and their dynasty. So, yeah, I'm going with Ezekiel Elliott, Ohio State.
You said it may not be – or they may not – they shouldn't – excuse me. They shouldn't necessarily take Elliott at four. Who would be a guy that you might see more as like, all right, the Cowboys should select so-and-so?
Yeah, and you and I have had this conversation a lot. I think most picks in the first round, you should go best available player. But I think that's Tunsil here, and they're loaded at the offensive line. So I would say if they didn't go that, I would personally pick Bosa at four.
So Bosa would be like your second best available player behind Tunsil?
Yeah, I think
I mean,
so.
People could make – you could make the case for Elliott there too.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
I definitely agree with Bosa. I can't understand how they would actually pull the trigger on a running back when they signed Alfred Morris as his own running back and they had a 1,000-yard rusher last year. I don't care if he had 3 touchdowns or whatever. Like, there's not enough carries to go around. It doesn't make any sense.
I just don't think Jerry Jones can stand it. I think he has to have him.
So, yeah.
That's just my logic with it. That's what I'm predicting.
That's good logic for Jerry Jones.
I think Ezekiel Elliott in year one could provide more of an impact than Alfred Morris or, you know, whoever else they have back there, Darren McFadden. And I think, you know, when you have that offense, Darren McFadden ran for 1,000 yards too. And if I truly believe Ezekiel Elliott can surpass his talent in year one, then there's no saying what he could bring to that offense.
Yeah,
I definitely agree that there's no question that Elliott is significantly more talented than both Morris and McFadden. I just think that it's just a surplus pick if they did that, especially when Gregory is suspended again, is he not? And then DeMarcus Lawrence is suspended. Greg Hardy's not coming back. I just think that's a huge hole.
All right, number five, the Jacksonville Jaguars are now on the clock. And, Brandon, that's your pick.
All right. It's my former team, so I was pretty happy when I got this one. A lot of the talk has been surrounded around Miles Jack and his injury. And people are talking about him falling out of the top 10 possibly. But from everything that I'm hearing, as far as Jacksonville's concerned, they don't have any doubt about it. The real concern isn't immediate. It's long-term. And I think if you're looking at it long-term, what are you considering as long-term is really the question. I think if you get 2 contracts out of a first-round pick, that's pretty darn good. I mean, you'd like to have 3, but that's like an entire career almost. So if you're just looking at 2 contracts, you think about Patrick Willis went 11th overall. He played just over 7 years. I think everyone would do that all over again and probably even pick him higher than 11th overall. So, and Caldwell's already come out, the GM for Jacksonville. Caldwell's already come out and said that don't believe everything that you're hearing in the media. So I don't think it's going to scare them away, and I think he's the best player, probably, other than Tunsil, he's the best player available to me. And Tunsil's also another option. I've heard a lot that they don't want to abandon Jokel, but they should. I mean, just because you drafted somebody doesn't mean that you have to go down with the ship. I mean, this is their last year. If you're going to try and get Bortles to take the next step, he's not going to do it on his back. So that's another option. That's definitely a good pick. And also, they might trade out. I mean, Tunsil is still on the board. Most likely in real life probably will be on the board too. So that could be a good pick to move back. But I'm going to go Miles Jack at 5.
Stefan, what do you think about that pick?
I like Miles Jack a whole lot. I don't think you can go wrong, honestly. The way the draft is shaping up, if this is how it goes – if you're Jacksonville, can you really be upset with either thing here?
No.
They're in a win-win situation either way. So,
right. I've also heard this week that if Jack isn't there or they don't feel comfortable, Ramsey's off the board, maybe Bosa and Tunsil both do, that Leonard Floyd is a possibility at 5. I mean, that just blows my mind. And I like Georgia. That's who I follow for football. I never like any of their offenders. And then finally this year, I like Leonard Floyd. But I like him in, like, 20 to 30 range, not
Okay.
Yeah, that all makes sense. So to recap the first five picks, Rams take Goff, Eagles take Wentz, Chargers take Ramsey, Cowboys take Elliott, and the Jags take Jack. That puts us at number six with the Baltimore Ravens. And Christian, you're on the clock.
Well, for many teams, there could be the two best players available on their board right here at six, Laremy Tunsil and Joey Bosa. So it's a hard, you know, do you want to go in the offensive line trench or the defensive line trench? And with me, just long term, for this reason, I'm going to go with Laremy Tunsil. I feel like it's a safe pick here. Eugene Monroe's had injury problems since he's started day one at Baltimore, and only playing one full season for the Ravens, I think Tunsil would be a nice pick here. Also, with them losing Kelechi Osemele to the Raiders and in free agency, I think this makes a lot of sense here.
TJ, can you could you imagine this a couple of weeks ago, Laremy Tunsil possibly falling to six?
No, honestly, one of the things I always try to take into consideration when doing mock draft is, you know, when you have a rookie quarterback, your first, you know, a rookie starting quarterback, your first priority should be surrounding him with as much talent as possible and the pieces to succeed. And there's no, I mean, I don't think Tunsil's the sixth best player in the NFL draft, to be honest. So, you know, when Tennessee was number one, it was kind of an easy scenario to predict because, you know, he's a tremendous prospect, and I think he gives whoever he's protecting a chance to succeed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So,
I think another factor for that pick is that Bosa has come out recently and said that if he gets drafted by Baltimore, he's going to hold out. So that might be something to think about for Baltimore.
I hadn't heard that. No. That's interesting.
Yeah, Draft Diamonds, I don't know if you know the website.
Yeah.
I don't know if we. Yeah, I saw they posted a link. I don't know if it was an interview directly with them or with somebody else, but it was quoted that he said that he was going to hold out if he got drafted by Baltimore. So I don't know how much truth is behind those rumors or anything.
Interesting.
Like that,
that's nuts. Interesting. So Laremy Tunsil at six to the Baltimore Ravens. That puts us at the 49ers pick at seven. Stefan, you're on the clock.
Yeah, so again, 49ers are in a pretty good spot here. I think this would be a pretty easy pick. I'm going to go with Joey Bosa. I think that's a fairly easy explanation there. They need pass rushers. I don't think they really have any right now. So Bosa, I think, is a self-explanatory pick and a plug-and-play type of player.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that, Christian?
I mean, like every reason he said, I mean, it's best player available. 49ers, we saw the defensive players retire and move on somewhere else. So kind of starting with Bosa as maybe a foundation piece, kind of just rejuvenating that whole San Francisco roster. I think that'd be a great pick.
Right. So Joey Bosa at seven to the San Francisco 49ers. That puts us at the Cleveland Browns pick at eight, who obviously traded back from the number two spot. TJ, who you got him taking?
DeForest Buckner. I think that's an easy pick. You know, a guy like him still on the board, they can afford to shore up their defensive line. He's going to bring, you know, I'm not as high on him as I think others are. I think there are some glaring inconsistencies in his game, but I mean, regardless, he's still one of the best defensive prospects available. I think he's going to be an impact, you know, in year one.
Yeah, there's a lot of differing opinions on DeForest Buckner. Stefan, what do you think about that pick?
Yeah, I'm not as high on DeForest Buckner either. He would probably be at this point, outside of a couple of people, not named Zach, who would have Hargraves up there pretty high.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I could see Hargraves being an option there, but I can't have an argument with Buckner. I mean, I think that's a good pick.
All right, so DeForest Buckner at eight to the Cleveland Browns. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now on the clock. That's mine. And, guys, it is so hard to not say Vernon Hargraves here.
Then just say it.
All right, Vernon Hargraves to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Darrell Revis experiment didn't really work out long term, but they replace him with the next Darrell Revis and Vernon Hargraves.
Oh, man.
Bold.
So.
Yes. If you listen to this at all, you know I love Vernon Hargraves.
No.
So, yeah, I'm going to give him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at nine. So that brings us to the 10th overall pick with the New York Giants. Brandon, you're on the clock.
All right. I think this is probably the ideal scenario that the Giants wanted to play out. and they get to choose between a couple edge guys and Leonard Floyd and Shaq Lawson. A lot of what I'm hearing is Leonard Floyd isn't making it out of the top 10. So if somebody wants them, they're going to have to trade up front of the Giants. And Charlie Campbell from Walter Football has pretty adamantly said that he believes the Bucs might go Michael Floyd. But the way the board played out, I think it's perfect for the Giants. So I'm going to go Leonard Floyd 10 for the Giants.
Okay. Stefan, what do you think about Leonard Floyd to the Giants?
I haven't seen too much of Leonard Floyd in a 4-3, but I think he could make the transition there. That's what the Giants run. It seems like it'd be a good schematic fit as long as he can, you know, get comfortable putting his hand in the dirt. I think he mostly ran a 3-4 out in Georgia. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, they need edge rushers in the worst way, and Leonard Floyd is a good fit for them. That's the type of player they like up there, the athletic freak type of outside pass rushers who can go get the quarterback. So that seems like a good fit.
And a lot of people in NFL circles are projecting Floyd to be an off-ball, actually. And I don't know how much you guys study them. I thought he was actually fairly impressive as an off-ball defender when he had the opportunities. He looked pretty fluid. He looked like he had pretty good steps, and he would play in space, obviously. And then he has the added dimension of being a pass rusher also. So I think that's kind of how they're projecting him, which is probably mostly based on his build.
All right, so to recap the last five picks, the Ravens take Tunzel at 6. Niners take Bosa at 7. At 8, the Browns take DeForest Buckner. At 9, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take the great Vernon Hargraves. And at 10, the Giants take Leonard Floyd. And that brings us back to Christian with the Chicago Bears with the 11th overall pick.
I just recently did a mock, and I had DeForest Buckner slip into 11. I think this would be a good fit for Chicago in that 3-4 alignment. But with him already selected, and I might surprise y'all a little bit saying this, but I think Sheldon Rankins as either a tackle or a defensive end in a 3-4 scheme, I think he has that pass rush element in his game, and he's just been a high riser ever since the Senior Bowl and had a great 2015 season. And I think this would make a lot of sense and could maybe be best player available here.
I love this pick. I'm really high on Sheldon Rankins. TJ, what do you think about Rankins to the Bears?
Yeah, Rankins was, for me, I think I had him graded as my top, you know, interior guy, but he brings a lot of the pass rusher. You know, we like to see interior pass rushers, and I think he can do it outside, too, as a defensive end. I had him going in 14 to the Raiders. So, you know, the Bears, like you said, the Bears need pass rushers, and they need a guy who could bring that, you know, that schematic versatility. And I think he's a talented player, and I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, I really like that pick. I hadn't really thought about that, but I do like Sheldon Rankins to Chicago. And then at 11, that's what we have there. So at 12, the New Orleans Saints are now on the clock, and that's you, Stefan. What you got?
All right, so the Saints, Drew Brees declining. I've heard some crazy rumblings about quarterback, but I don't think that they go quarterback at 12. Obviously, that defense has some holes. I think they need an edge pass rusher. And a guy who I really like throughout this whole process has been Shaq Lawson. I think he is a really good fit for the Saints at 12. So I'm going to say Shaq Lawson going to the Saints at 12.
Well, was your mindset pretty much best available player?
Yeah, that. I mean, my personal best available player at this point is Ronnie Stanley.
Oh,
yeah, he's slipped.
I forgot he was still available.
There's only been one tackle taken so far.
He's an option here. I just feel like they have much bigger needs on the defensive side of the ball. So I'll say Shaq Lawson, just need/best defensive player available.
Brandon loves Shaq Lawson.
I'm the only one on the island that thinks Shaq is not that good, I guess.
Yeah, well, you wrote a pretty long piece about it. And if you haven't read it and you're listening, check it out at thedraftster.com. But yeah. Yeah, you're not too high on Shaq Lawson, but do you think that he would be a better fit possibly in New Orleans?
I think, yeah, that's another one of, like, an ideal scenario. They desperately need some sort of help on defense. They are just horrendous, and with Rob Ryan out, maybe they can turn it around. They got Haloti Kaha last year.
Right.
But I think he was playing more of, like, an off-ball and pass rusher, which was odd to me. But I've also heard that they really like A'shaun Robinson, too, to play kind of that that 3-4 DN position, but he's also like landslide down the draft boards all of a sudden for character concerns and effort issues,
right.
which I also thought I saw on film. I thought he didn't really put a lot of effort into pass rushing, but
okay. So Shaq Lawson at 12 to the New Orleans Saints. That brings us to number 13, the 13th pick overall, which the Miami Dolphins hold. And TJ, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna surprise some people here, but I'm gonna go with William Jackson from Houston, and he was a guy who I started watching, you know, in December, after seeing, you know, kind of, you know, we all follow college football, and I saw their rise with the first year head coach, and I'm like, well, you know, they must have some pretty good players, so let's see what they have going on. And for me, the first thing that stood out was his special teams ability. You know, he showed effort as on punt return, making blocks down the field. And then you start watching him as a corner, and, you know, you love guys with length, and, you know, he's a great coverage corner. And I think that game against Florida State validated himself as a guy who can do it all, and, you know, he can help a team. And Miami, you know, they need some help at corners. But, you know, he could come in and play as a nickelback, or he could possibly be a replacement for or a backup to Byron Maxwell. We saw how that whole scenario played out in Philadelphia. So I think he's a guy who can bring an impact as early as year two.
Jason Lockenfora tweeted out earlier today that Miami was really looking at Eli Apple, and there was a strong possibility they would take him if he was available. What do you think about the possibility of the Dolphins taking Eli Apple?
Eli Apple, he's a good prospect in his own right as well. But for me, I'm personally not that high on him.
Yeah.
I just don't really see it with him. I think he has some holes in his game, particularly as a tackler. And I don't like seeing guys who get grabby down the field. And I think that is a major flaw of his game. And that he for what it's worth, he will get burnt a good majority of the time.
Right.
You know, he's thrown that 65 times last year. He only recorded one interception. I mean, you don't have to catch them all, but I think one in 65 attempts, you know, those aren't great. I think those are alarming numbers. And he's a good player. He'll go in the first round, but I think William Jackson brings more to work with.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of Eli Apple, and I do like William Jackson. So we have William Jackson. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, bud.
I was just about to say, I've also been hearing that a lot of teams like Jackson over Hargraves as the number two corner, too. So that's a possibility.
Well, that's ridiculous. We're just going to – let's just leave that thought right there. So
Zach currently leaving the room.
Right, yeah. I'm crying out of just anger and frustration. So
talk him off the ledge.
I'm okay. Let's just move on. So William Jackson at 13 to the Miami Dolphins. Oakland Raiders at 14 are now on the clock. I'm going to give them Ronnie Stanley. I think Oakland has really done super well with the draft over the past two seasons, and I think they continue that streak here. And Ronnie Stanley, I mean, offensive tackle is a pretty safe pick in the first round. We've seen that for the past few years, and I think they continue that. They know what their quarterback is for a long time, and they try to protect him. So Ronnie Stanley to the Oakland Raiders at 14.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you found your building block at quarterback with Carr there, and then you drafted Amari Cooper in the first round last year. And you'll hear it from me. You've heard it from me since day one. Once you draft your guy at quarterback,
you got to
build
him
around him.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what the Titans will do maybe with the next pick. And so with Stanley, I mean, you're building the offense around Carr, and just with Cooper, Stanley, and Carr, and then if the health run game become more healthy with Latavius Murray, that offense could be something special.
All right,
That could be the best value pick of the entire first round if that's how it shakes out.
Yeah, maybe so. Somebody else was talking a second ago.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying Oakland only has pretty much one hole, and it's right tackle right now. So they would have a very, very good offensive line.
Right.
That car.
Right. All right, Christian, you just kind of previewed the next pick, the Tennessee Titans at 15. And Brandon, you have that one. You are now on the clock.
All right. So it kind of came down to Ronnie Stanley and Jack Conklin for me. I get other names like Vernon Butler, Kenny Clark, Kenzie Alexander, maybe. I kind of tried to cross-reference with their visits. I know maybe some teams don't hold as true as others to drafting the first player from somebody that they visited. But I'm going to go Jack Conklin. I think this worked out awesome for them. I mean, Laremy Tunsil is elite as a prospect, but I think there's a huge drop-off between him and Conklin. I got Conklin as my third tackle. And I'm hearing a lot, especially Kuiper and McShay, those guys. Well, Kuiper more. Thinks that Conklin might be the safest player in the draft, and he's got him like his second tackle or something like that.
Kuiper was going off with Conklin.
He is in love with him. I think he's got issues with his kick slide, which is I think it's pretty obvious, and a lot of people want to ignore that, which, I mean, I don't know if it's ignoring it or just assuming that NFL coaching is going to fix everything, which it doesn't because it's not a developmental league. But I really like Conklin too, so I think Conklin's a good pick there.
Well, you follow the Titans really closely, Christian. What do you think about Conklin at 15?
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. When the Titans were at 1, we were projecting they're going to get Laremy Tunsil, and now slipping to 15 and, you know, maybe getting the second-best tackle in this class.
Right.
I mean, I think John Robinson would be really happy if they stay at 15.
And Taylor Decker was another possibility, but I don't think he visited tight. So I didn't really throw him on there.
Does Conklin have experience at right tackle? I don't think he does.
I think he's got 2 or 3 games, actually.
Okay.
Like, and then he's got like 30 at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whatnot. Okay. Another wild card there for that. They seem to like Yannick Ngakoue, my dude from Maryland. They've had several private workouts with him and visits. So.
At 15? Like, you think that's a possibility at 15 or later on?
Maybe later on. Maybe if they decided to pack, try and move back again. Maybe somebody else really wants Paxton Lynch. You want to move up. They might be somebody, a spot that they would consider trading up to. And then maybe if they're in that late round where it's kind of a first and second round players, like mostly second round players get drafted at the end of the first round. So maybe that's a possibility or possible second round pick for them.
Okay. So to recap the last 5 picks, at 11, Chicago takes Rankins. At 12, New Orleans takes Shaq Lawson, Brandon's favorite. At 13, Miami takes William Jackson. At 14, the Raiders take Ronnie Stanley. And at 15, the Titans take Conklin. And that brings us back to Christian. At 16th pick overall, the Detroit Lions, you're on the clock.
Well, just recently, with Calvin Johnson announcing his retirement, I think wide receiver would be a popular pick here. Offensive tackle wouldn't be a bad idea, nor would a defensive tackle somewhere in the interior defensive line. So with that said, going with my top receiver, Josh Doctson from TCU, I think this would make a lot of sense for that offense just to keep going and staying on pace to where they were with Matthew Stafford, hopefully get a better season from Golden Tate going forward. But also considered would be Taylor Decker and maybe A'shaun Robinson or maybe even Robert Kimdichie if they wanted to go that direction.
Did you consider Corey Coleman at all here?
Yeah, I did. I feel like he seems
similar to Megatron. I mean, Doctson seems more similar to Golden Tate to me. I mean, do you think they can complement
each other? I think it's right the opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think Golden Tate's more of your, I don't know, I think he can do more on the outside than maybe you want Doctson to do. I think Doctson can serve more as that possession red zone threat that Calvin Johnson. Now, Calvin Johnson did everything well. So
sure.
You can't replace him immediately. But I think Doctson adds that element in the red zone, third down, probably the most for sure hands in this class, in my opinion.
TJ, what do you think about the Lions grabbing Josh Doctson at 16?
I like that. Yeah, I think we're both higher on Doctson than most people. I think I had them going with Bowringer, the German receiver, later in the draft. But I mean, absolutely, if you can get a guy like Doctson in there, and you know, you have a great quarterback in Matthew Stafford, and they're trying to, you know, make a run at the playoffs. And I think Doctson will help them give that added edge.
Yeah, I like Doctson's my number one receiver, but I just expect you to go Corey Coleman when you talked about losing Megatron. But you proved your point, so that makes sense. That makes sense. At 17, the Atlanta Falcons are now on the clock, and that's Stefan. What you got, bud?
All right, so the Falcons. I think that they have to go some type of defensive player here. A lot of really good players on the board. I think Noah Spence could go here. Darren Lee could go here. I'm going to have them go front 7 with Jaron Reed out of Alabama. I think that they're trying to at least beef up that that front seven, particularly the defensive line, especially with some of the better running teams in that division. Obviously, the Titans now getting Murray. The Jaguars continue to improve. I think that they are trying to build up, like I said, that front seven, and I think he's a pretty good schematic fit for them. So I'm going to say Jaren Reed out of Alabama.
Do you consider the other Alabama guy?
Robinson? I saw a little bit of film on him, too, where you do kind of see him take plays off. So I think
I agree.
That's certainly a reason for him to fall.
Okay.
I like A'shaun Robinson a lot, but that's fair. I mean,
absolutely.
That's objective analysis right there.
And a lot of people have that same knock. Like, I have same arguments, like, with Jaren Reed. Like, people are, like, how we think that A'shaun Robinson take plays off. A bunch of people think the exact same thing for Jaren Reed, and then they don't think the same for Robinson. I they're just so, like, opposite sides. Like, either you think one gives no effort or you think the other one gives no effort. It's my experience with those guys so far.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. Now let's go to the 18th pick with the Indianapolis Colts. TJ, you are on the clock.
Yeah, so the Colts, they're set at left and right tackle. Anthony Costanzo and Jack Mewhord there, respectively. I think edge rusher would be a huge pick for them here. But, I like my guy for me is Cody Whitehair at Kansas State. And it may be higher than most people would think, but, he's going to transition to guard because that's how he's built and that's where his game projects him as. And right now, they only have one right guard on their roster. And I think from just like a knee filler and another body, he would be a good pick. But this guy is an amazing, he's a clean prospect. When he committed four penalties and 923 snaps, he's an effective run blocker. He's a guy who's going to bring an added dimension to their offense and help keep Angelette clean.
Yeah, okay. I like that pick. It is a bit of earlier than I expected, but I mean,
makes total sense.
Yeah,
though,
it does
for
make
what
sense.
Indianapolis needs, it makes total sense.
Right. All right, 19. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock, and you got that, Brandon.
All right, so my team. I'm a big fan of Jonathan Bullard. He's not getting a whole lot of hype, especially first-round hype. It's more second or third, and I think he's definitely a first-round talent, in my opinion. I compare him a lot to Michael Bennett from the Seahawks. I think he can move in and out. He's got that – he's a very similar build, similar player, plays 3-4 D-end, can play probably like a 7. I wouldn't consider him like a wide 9 edge kind of a guy.
Yeah.
And then he definitely bumps inside and can give you a whole lot of pass rush ability on passing down. So I think that's a possibility. They haven't visited him. They haven't had any sort of communication with him, so I don't think that's going to be the pick, unfortunately. But my preference would be either Treadwell or Kim Dichi. But I'm going to go with Robert Kim Dichi right here.
Okay.
I think a lot of the character issues are a little overblown. I've read some stories on him. I've seen some interviews with him. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, Game Changers. It's a NFL Network show. They have, like, Steve Mariucci sit down with, like, a different set of, like, position group. And then, like, with wide receivers, they worked out with Michael Irvin. Quarterbacks worked out Kurt Warner. But they just had, like, interviews with Mooch and, like, all the other defensive linemen. And he just seemed to fit in. He's just kind of, like, the way I describe it to people is he's kind of like a philosopher, kind of a hippie kind of personality, I guess is the best way to describe it. He thinks of himself, like, is an enlightened kind of a person, which might seem weird to some people, but I think he's just a funny guy. Like, on that Game Changers, they went around, asked everybody, like, who do you want to sack when you get in? Shaq Lawson goes, Cam, he's the MVP, I want the best. Like, they all gave those cliche answers. Kim Dichi says, Andy Dalton. Like, he's just like, everyone just like gave him this funny look, like, where is that from? He's just a funny guy. He's a weird guy. I think a lot of it's overblown. I mean, if you read the police report from when he fell out of the hotel building, the cop said that he didn't believe he was under the influence of alcohol or any sort of drugs. So I just think he's getting a bad rep from his brother, and he's already said that his brother's not coming with him. His brother lives in Los Angeles. He doesn't hang out with him right now. Like, I mean, he doesn't live with him right now. But so I really like him, DG, and he's a top five talent.
Okay.
On the field.
Okay. No, that I like Kim Dichie a lot. And there's a lot of opinions on the severity of his off the field stuff. So
Yeah.
If you're willing to look past that, he's definitely a special player on the field. So
and Rex Ryan doesn't really seem like the guy who would just turn away a guy because
sure.
of character issues, because he's got his own character issues.
No, that's a good point. The New York Jets are at 20, and I have them. I'm going to give them their quarterback. I considered going Taylor Decker here because, you know, DeBrickashaw Ferguson leaving. They need a new tackle. But I'm going to go with Paxton Lynch out of Memphis here. And in real life, I think someone else trades up and gets him before this pick. But if he's sitting there when the Jets are picking at 20, I think they get their quarterback. So
yeah, it's funny because, you know, weeks back before we had all the movement up front, you know, you're just seeing all these mock drafts of Lynch landing in, like, you know, to a good team having to play like the developmental role behind some quarterback
right.
on the back end of the first round. And I was like, well, 20 for the Jets, I mean, where's their buzz around him? Because, I mean, you had the issues with Geno Smith, Fitzpatrick with the free agency stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Lynch, you know, he might not be ready day one, but I could see Todd Bowles and the Jets front office, you know, if, you know, take a quarterback here. But like you said, the odds of that, of Lynch landing all the way to, or sliding all the way to 20 is probably pretty unlikely.
And if they did get to re-sign Fitzpatrick and Lynch did get to sit for at least a year, that would be ideal for him
right.
and the Jets and everybody.
Right. All right, to recap the last five picks, Detroit takes Doxson at 16. At 17, Atlanta takes Jaron Reed. At 18, Indy takes Cody Whitehair. At 19, Buffalo takes Robert Kimdichi. And at 20, the New York Jets take Paxton Lynch. 21, the Washington Redskins are on the clock. And that's you, Christian.
Yeah, I would have penciled in a cornerback right here before the Josh Norman free agent signing. Huge, huge contract.
Yeah.
In the news everywhere if, you know, you're just under a rock. But, yeah, with Terrence Knighton signing with New England, a little whoop-whoop from Zach over there.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, you have the versatility from A'shaun Robinson, Alabama. You have potentially a 3-4 defensive end in Robert Kandichi, though we have him selected at 19 to the Bills. So to go with the true nose tackle, I'm going to go Andrew Billings from Baylor, a guy that we haven't heard much about in a long time, but a pretty fairly clean prospect. Zach and I were talking before the show. I think he's pretty much truly just a nose tackle, but I think he can take up a lot of space, has some sneaky athleticism in there, and I think with just the departure of Knighton, even if Knighton stayed, I think this would have made a lot of sense, just the youth of Billings and just the upside he brings.
TJ, what do you think about Andrew Billings to Washington?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. That guy's my favorite prospect.
Oh, wow.
He brings a lot of just pure strength and power. You know, when I was getting into the scouting process with him, you know, I was doing my research, and this guy squatted 805 pounds as a high school senior. And I'm like, why? There was no reason someone that young should be able to lift that much weight. But he can, and, you know, like you were saying, he may be a true nose tackle, but he definitely is an athletic guy who can bend and get to the quarterback. He's going to plug up two gaps. He's a difficult, difficult man to move. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he can bring it to the next level.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. So we have Andrew Billings at 21 to the Washington Redskins. That brings us to Stefan, who has the Houston Texans pick at 22.
All right, so the Texans, I think they'd probably be really happy with the way this board would be shaking up. I know they just obviously signed their quarterback. They don't really have too many glaring needs. I think the best thing for them would probably be to build around Osweiler at this point. So I'm going to give them another weapon on the outside. I think William Fuller would be an option here. Coleman, I think, would be an option. But I'm going to give them Laquon Treadwell. Give them a big-bodied receiver, somebody targeted in the red zone, almost Demaryius Thomas-type receiver. I think it'd be a good fit for Houston. So I'm going to say we're going to go with Laquon Treadwell.
Brandon, what do you think about that pick?
I'm a huge Laquon Treadwell fan. He's still my number one receiver, and I got him at the top 15 player. I mean, I understand he ran a 4.36 or 6.3 or whatever it was, but I just, and everyone likes to overblow his blocking, but I think he's unreal at the catch point. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't talk about is him after the catch, not so much running away from people, but running through tackles and getting those extra yards. I just think he's an exceptional prospect. So,
how long do you think he takes to get to the stage to shake Roger Goodell's hand? You think he's the slowest of the night?
We should have our stopwatches out.
Any receiver would probably be the slowest. Except for Will Fuller, I guess.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Hold on. I'm going to make a quick note. Is it strange to anybody that we only have two receivers selected in the top 22 picks?
Not to me, no. I don't think so.
I mean, not just based on the class, but just in past in history. Does only two wide receivers in the top 22, does that catch you off guard a little bit?
I think it's more strange that there's not a lot of corners being taken.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. Think about this, Christian. You have as many running backs in the top 15 as you do wide receivers. That, I think, is really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that just might speak to the class as a whole and also to the depth that the last couple of classes have had.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really a huge need for as many teams.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, between the top 22 picks, I mean, the only two teams that maybe not their number one need is a receiver, but the only two teams that would maybe even consider a receiver, you know, with I had Doxson going to Detroit,
yep.
And then we just had Treadwell going to Houston. So the only two teams that kind of sort of have that wide receiver need, they took one, but the other teams seem pretty pretty content with their wide receiving core.
All right, 23. The Minnesota Vikings are on the clock, and that's you, TJ.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing I've noticed as I've gone through the scouting process is most, you know, after 21, most players have early second round grades on them. And obviously teams picking 21 or later are playoff teams, and their roster's pretty solid as it is. They don't have too many glaring needs. So I like Treadwell here because I think he's a big pass catcher, like you guys are saying, but I'm going to go with Michael Thomas because I think he's just a notch lower than Treadwell. You know, Teddy Bridgewater is not a guy who's going to challenge defenders 50 yards down the field. I think Michael Thomas brings that intermediate route, the intermediate pass catcher that Teddy Bridgewater can work with and convert all third downs. You know, he's got good hands. He's only dropped 5 passes in the last 2 years combined. 6'3", 212. He has good length. He can do lots of things along the sideline. I think he gives Bridgewater that added weapon.
I love that pick. I love that pick. Stefan, what do you think about it?
I'm not as high on him as I think some of you guys are.
Sure.
I'm like Coleman or Fuller here a little bit more, but I get it for where he's playing. You have to think Minnesota, you're not going to really be able to use the speed as much as you are the big bodied receiver. So I get it. It makes complete schematic sense. So I can't really hate on that pick at all. I think that's a really, really solid pick. I think he's probably safer than maybe some of the speeder receivers, especially I think Coleman might scare a little bit of people because he's got the whole Baylor repertoire going on. So I think that's a safe pick. I don't think he's going to ever be, you know, a 110, you know, type of reception receiver. But in that type of offense, I could certainly see him being effective.
And with Teddy Bridgewater, doesn't have the greatest arm either. So, I mean, already got Stephon Diggs to run deep and take the top off the defense. So I think I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. So that brings us to 24. That's the Cincinnati Bengals. And I like a couple of guys here. I like Corey Coleman. I also like Taylor Decker. I don't think there's any way he slides this far on Thursday, but I'm going to give them Reggie Ragland some help on the defensive side of the ball. I think their
great
offense.
Pick.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I think their offense is good. They AJ Hawk is no longer on that team as of earlier today, and I think Reggie Ragland steps in right away and makes a difference on that defense.
Another SEC player in Cincinnati. It seems to be a common theme there, but
seems like it used to be the Chiefs, but now
now it's more Cincinnati. Yeah. But I mean, it's a safe pick, probably. I mean, as of now, like we talked about yesterday, Ragland's the number one inside linebacker with Jalen Smith's injury. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense for the Bengals, and You know, who knows what happens on that defense with all the personal fouls that they run around with. But
sure.
I think Ragland has his head screwed on right and be okay in that department.
Yeah, yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's a good schematic fit, too, for him. Mm-hmm. I think that's a match made in heaven for both of those teams.
And yeah, you put him next to Burfict. I mean, that's a pretty good couple linebackers.
Gosh, wouldn't that be Burfict, though? Sorry. Okay, sorry.
You already had
bad
your
pun.
Joke.
Bad pun. All right. That brings us to 25. Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock, and Brandon, you have them.
All right. This one is tough because I think their biggest need is cornerback because they had Ross Cockrell, who got cut by the Bills, as their starting corner in the playoffs. And he couldn't even make like the game day roster in Buffalo. So it seems like such a glaring need. But the Steelers, like every year we say this about the Steelers, like they need to draft a DB, and they don't. So I had like Eli Apple, Carl Joseph, Von Bell, Keanu Neal, but A'shaun Robinson, has he slipped all this way?
Yeah, he's still there.
He's still available. They got Daniel McCullers right now at the nose, and I just, they like D linemen, and I think the rest of the league saw D linemen can win you Super Bowls. So I'm going to go A'shaun Robinson to Pittsburgh at 25.
TJ, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I like A'shaun Robinson. I think he's a guy who's definitely going to have his impact in the run. I know most people aren't too fond of him. They think that, you know, he's just a one-trick pony who's just going to do just that, stop the run. But, in Alabama, in his defense, Alabama didn't ask him to rush to be a pass rusher that often. And for what it's worth, he is quite possibly the best two-gap run stopper in his class. He does so many good things, gets his hands involved, he's strong, knows how to stack and shed, he has good size, 6'4", 310 pounds. So I think, you know, when you bring in a guy who can help stop runs with on a team that needs help, I think that's a great pick.
And it's tough to evaluate when they two-gap because you don't know what play from one play to the next, whether they're two-gapping or one-gapping. So it's tough with Alabama. But I see a lot of people saying he's a five-tech, and I don't think he's a five-tech at the next level. I think he's more of an interior guy.
I completely agree. So to recap the last five picks, Washington takes Billings, Houston takes Treadwell, Minnesota takes Michael Thomas, Cincinnati takes Reggie Ragland, and the Pittsburgh Steelers take A'shaun Robinson. Christian, you have the Seattle Seahawks at 26. You're on the clock.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways Seattle could go here. The popular pick has been Kimdichie, but I think now the talk is he'll go in the top 20. I think that's pretty set in stone right there. I mean, the back end is strong. We always know the Legion of Boom, but I don't know if the cornerback spot opposite of Richard Sherman is locked down. I mean, I know Jeremy Lane has been fine, but maybe if they could find some more help there. I mean, they rotate guys in and out.
Right.
So, I mean, just if you're a number three corner on that team, you're technically a starter almost. But I'm not going to go in that direction. They didn't sign back Russell Okung. I think with Taylor Decker being available on the board here, I think that would be a pretty smart pick. Though they signed a couple of tackles in the offseason, I think Decker could be a plug-and-play guy, and Seattle struggled up front last season. They got better as the year progressed, but I think that's definitely a need somewhere across the offensive line, and I think he could add an instant spark.
I like that. Their offensive line struggled last year, and Taylor Decker also offers some versatility, being able to play left tackle and right tackle. You know, we talk so much about, oh, well, we can just move him to the right side, but I think that's harder than a lot of people realize. But Decker's a guy who's done both. We know he can do that. And he also, I've said this before on the show, I think he's the best at blocking in space of the whole class. I think he's even a little bit better in Tunsil as far as that. Granted, he's had more opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And Seattle runs Seattle runs an offense that's a little bit different than everyone else in the league, and they might put him in a situation where he can do that. Mm-hmm. So.
And like you said, having the ability to play left tackle and right tackle and excelling at both, that makes him one of the more pro-ready guys in this class, I would think. And I just thinking of that versatility. Like you said, you know, you just move you can't just move a guy from left tackle to right tackle because you're going off a whole different foot. You're punching with a different hand. So, yeah, I think having that experience and just resurfacing that of the right tackle, I think Decker would make a lot of sense there. But I think he could be a left tackle at Seattle if that happened.
I think Jason Spriggs is another possibility there too, because just from his testing.
Over Decker?
Not to me, okay. But maybe to Seahawks, maybe to Seattle. They like those metrics guys, and he tested off the charts on every metrics test there is.
Spriggs's stock is all over the place.
Yeah, I there's some people that think he's like OT2, and then I don't see that. But especially everyone's thing is he's raw. He's got like 40 starts. If you were a raw after 40 starts, I think that's
it's a really good point.
Sorry not to get drafted.
Yeah, you're right.
Upside, no. Right. Where is it?
It's going downside.
All right, 27th, the Green Bay Packers are on the clock. Stefan, you have the pick.
So the Packers, I think there's a lot of different ways that they could go with this. There's a couple players I think that could fill some needs. I think they may need an additional pass rusher. Julius Peppers is getting older. I don't know if they're planning on what the plan is with Perry going forward. Obviously, Noah Spence is still there, which is surprising. Darren Lee is still there. I think he may potentially not be the greatest schematic fit for them. I think they would like to have had Decker, which obviously with him going right before them makes a little bit of a difficult situation.
Right.
So I do think an interesting player for them, I think he's a good fit, is Jonathan Bullard out of Florida. I think he would be a perfect fit for them, though. So I'm going to go with Jonathan Bullard. I think he is somebody who is versatile on the defensive line. They can move around, which is what Green Bay loves to do with their defensive linemen, and get the matchups that they want. So I'm going to go with Bullard, mostly for schematic fit. And I also think he's a little bit of a riser. So I'm going to go with Bullard.
What do you think of the cornerback play behind Jonathan Bullard?
You know, I like McKenzie a whole lot. I you know, I'm obviously not high on Eli Apple.
That totally went over your head.
You're talking about the Barber and
there Hall. We go.
Nah, just
it's
just
been a long day.
Just kidding.
I thought you were talking about the secondary play behind the back.
No, you made sense of it. Zach's being comical. So,
sorry.
You
answered. I'm not funny. I don't know why I said that. TJ, what do you think about Bullard to the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I like Bullard. I don't think there was another guy in the class who gets off the ball as quickly as he does. And if you watch specifically the SEC championship game, I mean, he was darn near in the backfield every single play. And
he had a great game.
I think he just, he's the refinedest pass rushing ability. He's a guy who tracks the ball well. He can move well laterally. And that first step is hard to coach. It's like a guy with speed. You know, you can't really teach and coach that. It's either you have it or you don't. And he has it, and I think he'll be a great fit.
And Green Bay uses a lot of sub packages too, which I think that type of player where he can stay on the field for all three downs is something that they value. And Bullard, obviously, like we said, being a fit for that, I think is something that would certainly make him appealing to them. So,
and I think TJ made a great point about his get off. I mean, it is. I was just watching him this weekend, and his get off is elite. And I think a thing that a lot of people don't look at is they can't differentiate between snap guessing or snap anticipation and actual reaction. And he is reacting, and he is reacting fast. He's very impressive, and I think that would be an awesome pick for Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is a good one. So let's throw it back to TJ because he has a 28th pick with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Apple here because – I think when you lose a guy like Sean Smith, it does create a whole opposite of Marcus Peters. And I think that, you know, Eli Apple, like I said, I'm not very high on him, but I like him more than McKenzie does, or more than McKenzie. Simply, I like his size better. He's physical at the line of scrimmage. He's not afraid to crowd guys. He can click and close in a hurry. He changes direction well, mirrors receivers well. So he does a lot of good things despite, you know, some of his cons, and I think he gives Kansas City that added dimension outside of Marcus Peters.
Yeah, I like that. Did you consider other corners other than Alexander? Did you consider maybe Fuller?
I did consider Fuller. To be honest, I think that I would be surprised if he went any earlier than late third. One, because of his meniscus issue, and two, he is, I don't want to say raw, but he has a lot of things in his game that need to be improved before he can be considered, a top prospect. He does have the talent there, and he's a guy who, when he's healthy, and he can put it together. But I think, in terms of the finished product, you get more with that with Apple than you do with Fuller.
No, that makes sense. All right, so that brings us to 29 with the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm going to give them Darren Lee.
Wow, he slipped.
Yeah, I think.
Can't believe that.
I think Arizona made it very clear that they wanted to address their pass rush. They traded for Chandler Jones, and I think they were last among all the playoff teams as far as sacks go. Darren Lee's a guy who I think he's very explosive. I think he's good at coverage. I think he's a three-down player. And I think he goes into a pretty good situation with a pretty talented Arizona Cardinals defense. And, I mean, this is a team that's a couple injuries away from possibly playing in the Super Bowl. And so I think they get a steal here with Darren Lee.
Darren
Lee's
a
very good blitzer. I think that's one of the underrated parts of this game. Everything gets lost in his coverage ability, and I think he's a very good blitzer also.
Yeah, I mean, we saw his athleticism at the NFL Scouting Combine. I think he probably had one of the better performances, if not the best, out of everybody. Yeah, I'm really high on Darren Lee. Christian, go ahead.
What do you think they do with him, though, schematically, Arizona? I mean, they have Buchanan that they kind of bring down into the box a whole lot. Are you viewing him as that type of, like, a hybrid safety linebacker? Or are you viewing him more as an edge?
I view him more as an edge, personally. Okay. I think he can blitz, as Brandon was just saying, as well as drop in the coverage. Just play that pure outside linebacker edge role. So, all right, at 30, the Carolina Panthers are on the clock, and Brandon has them.
All right. For this one, with the departure of Norman, I think cornerback definitely shoots up their board. But I think that they were definitely exposed in the Super Bowl with their offensive line. Regardless of how well you say that they played, they don't have a lot of talent on the offensive line, except on the interior. Their tackles are not so good. So it really came down to Kendall Fuller or Jermaine Nfeddi to me. I'm a fan of Nfeddi. A lot of people think he's more of a guard, but I really like him as a right tackle. Struggled a little bit at left tackle when they tried to do that. So I think Wright would be a good fit for him. I don't know if Michael Orr is cemented, I guess, as the left tackle. So I'm going to go with Jermaine Nfeddi for Carolina.
Okay.
I was also considering Ogba and Kevin Dodd just because, like in the Super Bowl, they saw D-line helps you win, and they're losing Jared Allen, who didn't really give him very much. But They could use some edge rushing.
Okay, so Jermaine Nfeddi to the Carolina Panthers at 30. And Christian, wrap up the first round for us with the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos.
Yeah, there's a lot of defensive talent left on the board. And yeah, kind of almost segueing to defensive tackle. I don't necessarily think it's a need, a primary need, but I think with guys like Kenny Clark still available and even Kevin Dodd on the outside would be attractive picks. And even Mackenzie Alexander, they're not going to touch a corner in the first round. But I'm going to go here with Kenny Clark. He's been the UCLA defensive tackle. I think he's a versatile tackle that could play anywhere from the zero tech to almost a 4 or 5 tech defensive tackle. I think he just adds another element to an explosive Denver defense. Noah Spence is another guy that could throw it out there. I think Shane Ray's taking that role in Denver that Spence would probably serve in the NFL. But I think Kenny Clark, the defensive tackle out of UCLA here.
Okay. So that wraps up the first round. I want to ask each of you, who do you think the best remaining player is? And we'll start with you, Brandon.
That's a good one.
While you're thinking, we'll go to Stefan.
Okay.
My number one available player at this point would be Noah Spence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Small school stud.
I was waiting for it. You're welcome.
He's like a small school stud with like an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, because he's not technically
a football state player.
Right. Right. All right, TJ, who do you think is your best remaining player?
Personally, I would have to go Spence as well, but I'll mix things up, and I think that Corey Coleman challenges him for that top spot as well.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Coleman was still on the board there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a couple of receivers were taken ahead of him, too, so that's interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, Brandon, do you have your answer yet?
Yeah, I'll go with I think I'm going to go Ryan Kelly. I mean, I'm not as high on him as some people, but I think he's probably one of, if not the best, interior offensive lineman on the board. We didn't see any guard. We had white hair, right? Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like nobody knows if he's going to play guard, tackle, or center in the NFL. But I got Kelly right there with white hair. And then the only other person that I would really would think about would be Vernon Butler, the Louisiana Tech D-tackle. I've heard a lot of teams like him as a first-round player. I know the Lions were enamored with him. It was the quote that I've heard, and they followed him
right
a lot. So
gotcha. Christian, who's your guy?
Well, I agree with Spence. I mean, I think he's a top 10 talent. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if he didn't have the off-the-field issues and he was still at Ohio State, who would be the higher-ranked defensive end, either Bosa or Noah Spence. So I think Spence is there, and I also agree with the Corey Coleman, one of the top receivers in the class. I'm not as high on him as maybe some of the others are, but, yeah, I think those are probably the two guys best available, and I'm glad you threw out Vernon Butler's name, defensive tackle out of Louisiana Tech, which just from projecting, I think he's somewhere in the first round.
My guy's Kevin Dodd. I think I don't think there's any way he slips out of the first round on Thursday, but Kevin Dodd's my guy. But
Hold on, quick question.
Yes.
Sorry, just for you, Zach. You're saying we have these guys that are best available, and we're saying we don't think they're necessarily going to fall out, or you don't think the guys that you said are available are going to make it out of the first round. So who are you, like, taking off of the list that we drafted?
All right, I don't mean to hate on any of you guys here when I say this, but I don't think Michael Thomas goes. Oh, wow, these are both TJ. I don't think Cody Whitehair goes. I'm so sorry, TJ. I really like
you made great sense of him, though.
No, yeah, I'm not just, yeah. But, and there was another one. Oh, Kenny Clark. I don't think Kenny Clark's a first-round guy. Yeah, that's you. Yeah, so.
Sure. And there's going to be talent that's going to fall, though. We only have 31 picks now, obviously. Zach knows there's no New England pick in the first round, so.
Yeah, and I try to, one thing that I always try to tell people about the NFL draft is it is one of the most hardest things to predict in sports. You don't deal in absolutes with the NFL draft. Any of these guys could fall. Anyone could rise. So you never know really what is going to happen. And I think you made great points. But, yeah, Cody Whitehair and Michael Thomas are definitely two guys who could fall.
Yeah. No, and you made good points when you picked them. I'm not just answering the question.
Well, and there's starters in this draft in the third and fourth round. I mean, that just goes to say what we just talked about. I mean, there's going to be somebody in the fourth or fifth round that's starting maybe day one for a team.
I could also especially see a team reaching for a safety, whether it's Darian Thompson or Carl Joseph.
Yeah, it just depends on how they feel about Carl Joseph. But dude's a missile, a hard hitter, and a pretty safe pick if he's healthy in the first round.
Right, right. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. Thank you, Brandon, TJ, and Stefan for coming on with us. This was a lot of fun, and we'll have you guys on after the draft because next show we have, we'll all know where everyone was picked, and we'll have a crazy amount of stuff to talk about. So thank you, guys. Be sure to follow us at DrafterPod. Check us out on the website at thedrafter.com, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedrafter. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to The Draftster. Be sure to subscribe, follow us on Twitter at DrafterPod, and visit our website at drafter.com.